Saram, dear listeners, and welcome once again to Vahini Satsang. So we are now in the 17th chapter of Vahini Satsang, and today we will do the last segment, 17.9 of this chapter. If you are referring to the Telugu Prema Vahini book, then this is chapter 5. As we have been seeing, it's a pretty long chapter. We broke the chapter into 9 segments, and now today we will take up the last part, and then probably if there is time we will summarize the focus, the different takeaways from this chapter. And as always, along with me is Sai Prakash. So let's begin. Let me play now the last segment, 17.9, and then we'll pray to Bhagwan and see what thoughts he blesses us with.
ఈ భారతీయులందరూ ఒక తల్లి బిడ్డలే. ఆ తల్లియే సనాతన ధర్మము. ఆ మాతృ ఋణమును భారత పుత్రులు తీర్చవలెను. తల్లిని మరచిన పుత్రుడు పుత్రుడు కాదు. తల్లిని చెడ్డ అన్న తాను మంచి కానేరడు. ఆ తల్లి పాలపోషణే నేటి ప్రాణము. ఈ ప్రాణదాత అయిన సర్వుల తండ్రి ఒక్క పరమాత్ముడే. అందరూ ఒక్క తల్లిదండ్రుల బిడ్డలు. అట్టి సోదరులలో తమను తాము నిందించుకొనక, తమవార్లకే తాము చెడ్డ కోరక, మీ వస్తువుపైన మీకెంత ఇష్టమో అట్లే ఇతర సోదరులకు వారి వస్తువుపై వారికంత ఇష్టమని భావింపుడు. ఒకరి ఇష్టమును ఒకరు దూషించక, పరిహసించక ప్రేమించవలెను. ఇవి భారతీయుల ప్రేమయుత సత్య లక్షణములు.
All Bharatiyas are children of the same mother. That mother is Sanatana Dharma. All sons of Bharat have this debt to be paid to their mother. A son who forgets the mother is no son. One who calls one's mother as bad can never be good. It is the milk and nourishment of the mother which is our life force. The giver of this life, the father of all, is Paramatma. All are the children of the same parents. Such brothers never accuse or harbor ill evil against one another. They are always mindful of the fact that just as one is deeply interested in one's own object, the others too are similarly interested in their own objects. Instead of ridiculing or rebuking others' interests, one should love them. These are the characteristics of the love-filled truth practiced by Bharatiyas.
So Swami is coming back to the characteristics of Bharatiyas, isn't it?
Absolutely. It's so amazing because throughout this chapter, Swami has been telling us about the Bharatiya culture and how so many aspects of it are being forgotten as well. Yes. In today's day and age.
Yes.
And it is like an amazing suspense, and at the end Swami brings it down to such simple things.
Mm.
He says, you know, you should love what other brothers love.
Yes.
And your own kith and kin. Yes. Understand. Like it's almost coming down to love all, serve all, help ever, hurt never. That's exactly what, Sanatan Samskriti, yeah, Bharatiya culture, everything you put together.
Yes.
It comes down to the simple teachings of Swami, which he has always. One should not find fault with what other loves.
Yes.
Or should not laugh at it.
Yes.
He should, on the other hand, try to love it. Mm. These are the characteristics of truth and love of the Bharatiyas.
Mm.
Isn't it amazing?
Yeah, absolutely. In fact, you know, when I read that, I was reminded of the hostel.
Right.
You know, the saying that we have quoted many times, but it is so apt, I think, to define what is a Bharatiya, where each one lives for the other.
Mm.
And all live for God.
Right.
Because that's what Swami says, you know, if you are a Bharatiya, if anyone who follows Satya and Dharma, then you are a Bharatiya. You
right.
are on the path to becoming a Bharatiya. You are a Bharatiya. And the characteristics of a Bharatiya is that anyone who has that heart, who can think about the other person.
Mm-hmm.
And going back to the hostel, you know, I was reminded of so many such instances that we have seen in the hostel, being exemplified in what Swami is trying to communicate to us here. In fact, it is really, I think the best way to understand Swami's teachings is to look at the institutions that he has set up, because they have been the practical illustrations of what he's trying to communicate.
Absolutely. And his life as well.
And his life. Yeah.
Yeah. The institutions which he set up is a part of his life and how he lived his message.
Yes.
And so everything, any of this, like, we never saw Swami, if you say, love what another loves, you can take it to any level. Like, for example, Swami never said, change your religion.
Yes.
Yeah, you are a Muslim, be a better Muslim.
Yes.
You're a Christian, be a better Christian.
Yes.
And he never said, change and try to follow me or worship me.
Yes.
And that level of...
And the way everyone felt at home in Prashanthi Nilaya.
Absolutely, absolutely.
a Jew felt the Swami is mine, an Iranian felt Swami is mine, an African felt, his hair is like mine.
Yeah.
And European felt that, no, the way he walks, that grace, it is like a European.
Right.
And Indian felt, no, he is very much like us, the way he sings bhajans, it is Karnataka. So, no, he is very much a South Indian. A North Indian felt, no, you look at the way he dazzles. He is definitely, he is like one of those Maharajas and Gurus of North India. You'll think like that, isn't it?
No, absolutely. In fact, the other point that he made in this last segment is about mother.
Yes.
And how Sanatan Samskriti, Sanatan Dharma is our mother.
Yes.
And we should be loyal to her, and we should be, we should love her. And how Swami tells the story of Mother Ishwaramma asking him for the three boons.
Exactly.
And she says, don't leave Prashanthi Nilayam.
Yes.
And then the way Swami has narrated it several times, it feels as if all these projects, these huge humanitarian projects that Swami has started, the hospital, the institute, the university and the water project, are all fulfillment of simple prayers and wishes that Swami's mother made.
Yes.
And it shows an immense sense of gratitude, like, okay, quote unquote, because Swami need not be grateful to anybody, but Swami showed everybody the right path, how you should value your mother's words, and he fulfilled her simple wishes that way.
Yes. So, here when Bhagavan is saying your mother is Sanatana Dharma, everyone's mother is Sanatana Dharma.
Right.
And that is the reason why everyone is a brother and sister.
Correct.
And that is the reason why there should never be any sort of dissonance between two people, between two, if you are a Bharatiya. Because you know that if I'm on the path towards God, and if he's the other person also is on the walking on the path of truth and righteousness, and he's also on the path of God, then we are brothers, and if we are brothers, then we should live like brothers. But going back again to the hostel, I can't but think about so many such instances that we have seen, especially during the examination time, and then now the examinations are going on.
right.
And I remember many years ago there was this incident where this boy Satish, he was as he was preparing for the exam very studiously, he sees that one brother in the room is lying on the bed.
Okay.
And so he goes and he asks Ramesh, what happened, why are you not studying? And he says, I'm not feeling well at all. And then so many in that examination fear, everyone is so busy trying to prepare for the exam. But Satish feels, no, how can I study when this brother is not able to study, So he, that whole night, he sits next to Ramesh and he reads out all the questions and answers that he had prepared.
Oh.
One by one for him. And he feels, it doesn't matter if I lose a few marks, but at least both of us will succeed in the examinations.
Incredible.
I mean there are so many such instances. I feel these are the tenets of Bharatiya culture. This is what Swami is referring to. Again, another instance I remember, again examination time. I remember in the morning before the examination there would be a bell and you can go and you know you can have juice if you remember the school and some cookies and juice and you do the final prayer before. So this boy who was preparing the last minute
right
brushing up of everything, so he goes down for the prayer and he does not pick up the snacks. He says, okay, fine, I forget the snacks. And, you know, he comes back and he's doing that last minute preparation. And then even as he's doing that, someone comes from behind and places in his hand the cookies that he did not take.
Oh.
He missed to take. You know? And I feel how much of, you know, even everybody's having exam. But someone to notice that and think, oh my God, this fellow is so tensed about the exam, I should help him.
Mm. Yeah, the whole idea of loving, caring,
yes.
sharing,
yes.
and putting others' needs and wishes
yes.
above your own,
yes.
and empathizing and
yes.
being one.
Yes.
Of course, when we are in hostel, everybody is, all of us are children of Sai.
Yes.
So, you
yeah.
know,
yeah.
we are children of Sai even now, I hope, but more so when you are in the hostel.
Yes.
And a similar incident where it's a very interesting episode where Swami had taken somebody, one of the students, to task for something.
Okay.
So that was, you know, when Swami says the gold is being put in the fire. If Swami calls you Bangaru, then you have to be a little bit
alert.
alert of what's going to happen. So I think Swami must have called him Bangaru. And after that, Bangaru is gold.
Mm.
So just like gold, Swami put him into the fire. And there was one of those treatment that was going on.
Mm.
And that particular student was so lost. And he was so, you know, obviously he was praying to Swami and not in the best of his moods and all that. And the next day they had to submit an assignment and a project. And he was in no mood. Obviously, there was another student who observed this, silently sat and did his entire assignment for him.
Oh, wow.
And wrote everything and then gave it to him. He said, I know you are not in the best of moods, so here you take it.
In fact, that reminds me of, you know, we used to have this exhibition where in the school where Swami used to invite Swami to come.
Right,
and
right.
every class would actually, every student actually would prepare exhibits.
Correct.
For, and I remember when I had also done one exhibit, but it was a very simple exhibit actually.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just one temple and it was a boy praying. All the other exhibits actually had a lot of moving items, you know.
Okay.
there was something dynamic there.
Okay.
So there's something interesting.
Mm.
But mine was that way, a very static model. And in fact, how that happened also is interesting. Before we went for vacations, you know, one sir had told us, all of you come back with models. And I was very, very sincere and I came back with a model.
Mm.
I got a carpenter and, you know, I tried to do an, a house and a boy and all that. So some boys had done, some boys had not done, but some boys had ideas to make it here in the school. So in any case, it was a very simple thing, but one brother, you know, who just saw that, you know, I was not feeling so okay that my model is a simple one, he came and he was such a sweet person. He gave me a nice place, you know, that brother was organizing in our class. And that whole area, he transformed it. He put so many ribbons, he put so many, you know, frills and everything. That whole area, the ambience of the whole area changed actually. And then Swami came and I thought, you know, mine is the only model and which is not really that interesting, and probably there will be nothing for Swami to interact much.
Mm-hmm.
Because in everywhere else, you know, the Swami could put on a switch or Swami could, you know, press something.
Some mechanism
was happening. But very interestingly, Swami came and Swami put his hand on my shoulder
And he started looking at it and he started making all sorts of, you know, casual comments actually. What is that boy wearing? Oh, he's wearing a half banyan. No, he's wearing a half pant. This, that, you know. Then I thought, okay, I have to involve Swami. So I thought, okay, Swami, you light a lamp. I put a lamp. I said, no. I should see there are a lot of decorations here, paper and everything. So don't worry. But he spent quite a good amount of time. Which for nothing.
Right.
But today when I think about it, of course there are so many dimensions to that episode. But one definite dimension which I till today I remember that brother is for that selfless manner, you know, in which he said, okay, fine, let's make this fellow's day bright.
That's what many such incidents. In fact, some of our teachers from Vrindavan were narrating that beautiful episode where. One of the student was selected for the lead role, I think of a saint, Jayadeva or someone, I'm not really remembering the exact episode, where he was selected for the lead role for the drama. And he really gave his heart and soul. He gave his best and he was doing the drama and he was literally pushing himself. But then it was not good enough.
Mm-hmm.
So the teachers were in a dual mind. They didn't know how to tell him. See, this boy is very sincere. He's doing his best. He's giving his best. But there are times when you're just not good enough. Mm. And everybody felt that, you know, somebody playing the lead role should be able to perform better.
Yes.
So since the whole idea was to offer the best to Swami, they had to tell him. And they told him, see, we'll give you another role. But the time is also less because the other boy has to pick up and all that. If you delay it further, it will become even worse. So, please take it in the right spirit. He said, sir, not at all, sir. Why are you so apologetic? We should offer the best to Swami. And he said, whatever little I know, how much ever I have learnt, I will teach that other boy.
Wow.
You tell me who is that other boy, I will sit with him, I'll teach him, and I will make sure that whatever little I know, however I've learned, that he also comes up to that in a very short time.
Wow.
And then finally he sat and he actually did that, and they gave him some soldier or something. He had to stand throughout the scene with that spear in his hand,
mm-hmm.
or some very small role he got.
Mm-hmm.
But he was very happy that he could teach that other boy the main role.
Wow.
With all his heart. Then what happened after the drama was performed in front of Swami, everybody was sitting and the main character was sitting there and all. And Swami waved his hand and produced a ring.
Mm-hmm.
And Swami called the other boy and put it in his finger.
Oh my God.
Swami called him, hey, come. And for people sitting there and watching, they would have felt, who is this? He didn't play the lead role, but behind the scenes only Swami knows.
Wow.
So Swami also rewards that bhava, that feeling with which you do it.
If you have a feeling of a true Bharatiya.
Bharati. Bharati, as Swami says.
Yes. Yes. Wow. In fact, there are so many such instances when I think about the school, you know. There was another instance like that where one boy who was not feeling well in the night, suddenly, you know, his temperature shot up and the boys got little perturbed. So they went and they told the teacher next door. So that teacher came and he immediately asked another boy to go and get a particular medicine which was there in his room. And the teacher took that medicine and he started applying over on his body and he started pressing this boy's legs.
Mm.
And this boy was very touched. He said, sir, you don't have to do this, sir.
Mm.
Please. And the teacher said, will you tell your mother not to serve you if you are not fine?
Mm.
And the teacher said, see, I know at this moment you are missing your mother.
Mm.
But Bhagwan has kept me here to help you. I know I cannot give you mother's love.
Mm.
But still I can do the best that I can.
Mm.
I mean, there are so many such instances that come to mind whenever you think about these institutions and the way
Again, you know, when you're talking about accommodativeness, there's another boy, a Muslim boy who joined the hostel. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he used to do his prayers 5 times a day.
Right.
And whenever, you know, lunchtime he used to do the prayers, all the boys in the room would become quiet.
Mm.
And then there is the Ramzan month where he has to have food before sunrise.
Mm.
And, you know, but breakfast is served, you know, after 7:30 in the hostel. So this boy, what he used to do is he used to keep the earlier, the previous night's dinner.
Mm-hmm.
A little bit of that he used to keep it so that he can have before 5 a.m. in the morning. But when the wing teacher came to know of that, he arranged for his breakfast at 5 a.m. in the morning.
Oh, very nice. Mm.
So, what I'm trying to say is, you know, all these tenets of Indian culture, if we say, I don't know if this really, can we really follow this? Is it practical in today's world, today's times? But I think this is what is happening in Swami's institution. And one has to just be in that ambience to experience what is the spirit of Indian culture is, isn't it?
No, absolutely. And the whole idea of how Swami himself encouraged.
Yes.
Swami encouraged, you know, you're just hardly able to sing 3 notes on scale. And Swami will keep encouraging you, be a singer, come on, start singing, start this thing. And you're trying to draw something and show Swami. He will encourage you so much. He'll say, public speaking, sports.
Yes. Oh, yes.
In how many areas he would keep encouraging the students. And finally, if you just look at it, if Swami wanted, you know, the best of singers to come and sing in Prashanthi Nilayam every day when he was here, he would have. But it is to encourage us, like,
yes,
you, that whole idea of he had to tolerate,
yes,
everybody.
Everybody, yes.
But that was a selfless,
yes,
gesture where,
yes,
he would encourage you to come up, he'll encourage, yes, you to do what, yes, that level of.
In fact, I mean, Swami going to the extent,
mm-hmm,
of even taking over the illnesses.
Right.
Of boys.
Right.
Isn't it? We know that instance where Swami took on mums. You know, he's the,
yes,
whole one side of his
2002 Guru Purnima.
Yes.
Mm.
You know, was swollen. And Swami said that, you know, that it was a little girl's, I think, a little girl, a little boy's mum, right?
Mm-hmm.
And Swami said, it'll be very difficult for that child.
Mm.
And for me, I can bear it, no problem.
Mm.
And so many such instances that we have seen. In fact, there's one instance also which happened in Kodaikanal.
Mm-hmm.
I remember, so Swami had taken this bunch of boys, and so one boy was continuously coughing.
Okay.
And the sessions were going on, and, you know, it's so, you feel so discomforting, because, you know, not only are you not able to listen, you are becoming such a nuisance for everyone, because it is just such a closed gathering.
Mm-hmm.
And you are continuously becoming a noise for everyone in the group. And so Swami noticed that this boy is continuously coughing. And then next day Swami tells him, you know, to take care and, you know, do this, do that. So this boy does all that, but nothing seems to work. And so 2 days pass like that, and, you know, so for him, the life has become really like hell. Even though he's in Kodaikanal, it's supposed to be a heaven.
Mm.
But for him, because every moment was a torture. Every time he coughed, it was a torture.
Right.
And you don't know, you don't want to even lift your face and show Swami, but you don't know what else to do. So finally, on the third day,
mm-hmm,
Swami calls, and by that time there was another 2 boys who also started coughing. And then Swami calls all the 3 boys, and Swami creates tablets.
Oh.
Tablets. Yeah. And when they look at the tablets, it is written there DRSAI, Dr. Sai.
Oh, wow.
Dr. Sai, white tablets, Dr. Sai.
Yeah.
So Swami gives that, and Swami says, take it now, right now.
Mm.
So the boys take, and after that, you know, the other 2 boys become okay.
Mm.
But the next day, The session starts and this boy is still coughing.
Okay.
And he feels, oh my God, I am such an incorrigible person that, you know, even God's grace is not working on me. Everything that Swami also can do, he has tried. And it is just that something is basically wrong with my DNA, with my entire structure, you know. And he was feeling so terrible. And so the next day, morning, Swami, when he came down from upstairs, and he just stepped down and all the boys were sitting down, and as Swami put his foot down the last step of the staircase, this boy coughed again. And Swami looked at him, and Swami went a little further and he came back again.
Mm-hmm.
And then Swami himself coughed.
Oh.
Himself coughed. And Swami looked at him and said, "Your cough."
Oh my God.
And then he went.
1 second transfer.
And after that, Swami returned and the session started in Sai Shruti. And so it was a very beautiful interaction session. And in the evening, just before sleeping, one boy came to this this brother and says, "Hey, how are you, man? Today we didn't hear you only coughing." Only then it occurred to this boy that, you know, that whole day he had not coughed. Because, you know, it had happened such naturally, and after that he was so immersed in the session that he had forgotten that, you know. I mean, it went away so completely that even memory of
it didn't even strike
of that
him. Yeah.
Also was not there.
Amazing.
But no, I'm saying, when we are saying you must feel for the other, in Swami you saw to the extent of taking over.
Correct.
Taking over the others.
Absolutely. In fact, somebody was just telling me that since we are talking about Sanatana Samskriti and Dharma, like Krishna, Lord Krishna says, Ananyas chintayanto mam ye jana paryupasate tesha nityabhiyuktanam yogakshemam. So he says, Ananyas chintayanto mam. So somebody asked Swami, is it possible? Like, how can I keep thinking of you all the time?
Ananya, all the time.
If you think of me, it is like a well-planned business deal. God, see, I will think of you all the time. So you make care. So if I just sit and keep thinking about the Lord, will anything happen? So he says, no, that is the easy interpretation you are looking for. What he says is, Ananya Chintayantoma means, everything in the world,
yes,
you should think is mine. Everybody is me.
Yes. Na Anya.
Na Anya. Ananya.
Yes.
So he says, there is nobody else.
No separateness.
So he says, the actual spirit is, if you are serving somebody, think you are serving me.
Yes.
If you are speaking to someone, think you are speaking to me. Somebody is coming and blasting you out of shape. Think that this is good for me.
Yes.
Accept it.
Yes.
And so Swami says, that is Ananyas Chintayantoma. You know, kind of focus everything back to, yes, Swami. In fact, that is the spirit with which Swami also, you remember that quote, Narayan Seva.
Yes.
Like some people who had come for the Narayan Seva, Swami gave them blankets and food. And then Swami said, what about others who could not come?
Yes.
Means there is a feeling that you're doing for yourself. You're doing for your own people.
Yes.
So that feeling is, that spirit is what Swami would really want us to live with.
In fact, I was reading other day, Wings of Fire. You know, Dr. Kalam's autobiography. So there he narrates very interesting instances from his childhood.
Okay.
You know, he's from Rameshwaram. Because he was born and brought up in Rameshwaram. And his father was a very close friend of the high priest of the Rameshwaram temple.
Okay.
And they used to, every evening, they used to sit together and, you know, they used to talk about spiritual matters. So, you know, Abdul Kalam sir has grown up looking that beautiful friendship between his father and the high priest of Rameshwaram. And, you know, and he used to ask his father many questions as a little one. One day he asked his father, you know, what is prayer, because his father used to always take him to the mosque and, you know, ask him to pray.
Mm.
And so what happens, you know, when we pray? And his father told him that, see, when you pray, you transcend your body and become a part of the cosmos.
Wow.
Which knows no division of age, caste, creed or wealth.
Amazing.
I mean, you know, look at the training. I feel this is what is Indian culture all about. And then his best friends, Kalam sir's best friends were, one was the son of the high priest,
okay,
Ramanand Shastri.
Mm-hmm.
Another one was Arvindan and Siva Prakashan. All the three were from Hindu Orthodox Brahmin families.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And they were his best friends.
Mm.
And all the families encouraged that, you know, they should be together. There was never a feeling. In fact, there was one instance,
mm-hmm,
where a new teacher came to the Rameshwaram Elementary School.
Okay.
And so Kalam, even as a child, you know, used to wear that Muslim cap.
Mm.
And he used to always sit next to this Ramanand Shastri, who was the son of the high priest. And so this new teacher who had come, he thought, this is not proper, you know. How come this is a Brahmin? He's, mm-hmm, a priest's son. How can he sit next to a Muslim boy?
Oh.
So, mm, you know, we are talking, of course, about perhaps this is pre-independence time. You know?
Mm.
Yeah. So there was this, those divisions in certain Hindus were there.
Mm-hmm.
And so what he does, this teacher asks Kalam to get up from that bench and go and sit in the end. She says, you know, he should not sit next to the priest's son.
Mm-hmm.
And the moment he does this,
mm-hmm,
he gets up and goes. This Ramanand Shastri,
mm,
he starts crying.
Oh.
And he cries uncontrollably. And later on, these children go back and tell their parents what happened in the school.
Mm.
And next day, Lakshman Shastri, the Ramanand Shastri's brother, the priest, high priest, Lakshman Shastri, he summons this teacher,
hmm,
and he tells in the presence of these boys that you should not spread the poison of social inequality and communal intolerance in the minds of innocent children.
Amazing.
And he bluntly asks the teacher, you, hmm, either apologize or you quit the school and quit the island.
My God. Very powerful, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the spirit. Here, in fact, as you are mentioning this, if you go back to the beginning of this chapter,
yes,
because Swami clearly says, Sanatan Dharma, which teaches the truth of all religions,
yes,
and tolerance of all religions,
yes,
is the dharma of all mankind.
All mankind.
He says, born in various areas, flowing through various paths, the rivers at last reach the ocean.
Ocean. Yes.
So too, born in different lands, practicing different ways of dharma, people reach the ocean of the presence of the Lord,
yes,
through different modes of worship.
Yes, exactly. So, I mean, Sanatan Swami has used, you know, once, if you look at this chapter, Swami has said Sanatan Dharma is the ocean. It is the confluence of everything.
Right.
And Swami says it is the mother. I mean, it is basically the source. It is
correct.
It is the basis basically. Yeah, Swami has used that also.
Yeah.
How you know it is the basis from which, you know, different cars are made, but you need the original. Swami says
exactly. So, in fact, there was a very we're talking about Sanatana Dharma and duty as such. There was a very interesting definition of duty.
Mm-hmm.
Which I read in the book Conversations with Sai Baba, Dr. Yes. John Hislop's.
Yes.
There Swami says that what is duty? He's saying leading your life with freedom, doing what you love with freedom, without coming in the way of others' freedom. Such a beautiful definition.
Hmm.
He says, you are free to do what you like, what you love, but without coming in the way of another person's freedom, if you do that, that is duty.
Hmm. here, generally in today's world, freedom people will, I will do what I like, but
I don't care about others. See, that is not according to the...
Yes. I'm not, I don't care about other sensitivities, other others' feelings. That's
whether you're in a family or you're in a society or in a country or whatever it is.
Yes.
You have the freedom, do what you want.
Yes.
But without coming in the way of another person's freedom.
Freedom.
If you do that, that is duty.
Yes. Wow.
That's such a such a very, very different perspective to... Yes. Because, like, yes, if you just extend it a little further, Swami says, love, duty without love,
yes,
is deplorable. So you are doing duty because you have to just do something.
Yes.
If you do not love it, if you not do it with your whole heart, yes, it's deplorable. Duty with love is desirable. So, you do it and you love it. This is desirable.
Yes.
Love without duty is divine.
Divine. Wow.
These sentences are like, there is only love, there is no duty. Name partha asti kartavyam trishulokeshu kinchana nanava. I don't have any binding duty in all the three worlds. That's what Krishna said. So I don't have any binding duty. So my Sanatana Dharma is my dharma of prema.
Yes.
The only dharma that I have is the dharma of prema. That's all.
Wow. Love without duty, I think that's a very, very powerful thing, and that's what we have seen in Swami's life, isn't it?
Right.
Just love. And that's what divinity is all about. Wow. In fact, there are so many such instances. You remember, I remember again in the evening one day when Bhagwan was... sitting. Actually, it was a long session in the interview room.
Okay.
And then there was a program planned that day. But Swami came and he went inside the interview room. And then by the time he finished the interview, it was quite late.
Mm-hmm.
And so Aarti was done. Bhajans were over. Aarti was over.
Mm.
And then suddenly after that, when Swami saw that there are some boys there waiting, so he came back to the stage.
Okay.
And so then the warden went to Swami and he said, Swami, you have taken so much of trouble, because it was already late in the night actually.
Mm-hmm.
So he says, Swami, meeku chala shrama.
Okay.
And that is where Swami says, Idi shrama kadu bangaru, idi prema.
Wow.
This is not shrama, this is not... Hmm. Any strain for me, this is prema, this is love. In fact, I remember whenever, if you have been with Bhagwan in the interview room, people would know, whoever has experienced that. Swami would, after all the people going, he would himself put on the fan.
Correct.
And, he would make the arrangements for everyone to be comfortable there.
Hmm.
And I remember so many occasions, and if you tell Swami, you don't take that trouble. Swami said, no. This is my duty. This
my
is
my duty, duty, sir, Swami would say.
This is my duty to make you comfortable.
In fact, just going further on, looking at what Swami has spoken in this chapter.
Yes.
So he again said, it's like, just as there are different mines of different metals.
Yes.
In the ocean. He says, in the Bharat Desha, we have found this mine of Sanatana Dharma.
Hmm.
It is like the most precious, is the source of this metal, this precious thing called Sanatana Dharma, which has the essence of all the Shastras, Vedas and all the Upanishads.
Yes.
See, it's very interesting, because if you consider the avatar of Bhagwan Sri Satya Sai Baba, he has never been ritualistic approach.
Yes.
In fact, the yajna, which is the only thing which Swami consistently had performed for Dashara, the Veda Purusha Sapta Gyana Yajnam, that was for Lokakshema.
Yes.
It was for the welfare of the entire world. There was, other than that, there was no other ritualistic, like people think Vedic, and, you know, Vedas and rituals and all that. He always stood for the spirit with which, in fact, we did discuss this in one of the earlier sessions where the pujari, according to the regular chants, was saying, Papo ham papa karma ham papa atma, I am a sinner, oh Lord, protect me, save me. Swami said, shut up, keep quiet. He said, no, don't think like that.
Yes.
It is not papo ham, it is prapto ham.
Hmm.
He changed it. He said, I am lucky, I am the fortunate one, I am with God, I am here, I am God. So that entire sense of positivity, which, and there was no, like, there are several, you know, ritualistic things that people follow when they go to a temple, for example. Like, Swami didn't have a hundi.
Yeah.
He didn't, in fact, he didn't encourage anybody to bring any offerings.
Yes.
In fact, I remember, I think once Swami was, I don't remember whether it is Kodaikanal or Thrai, Swami is saying, I have never taken fruits because if I start accepting fruits, everybody will start sending me fruits. Fruits is a very simple thing to offer. No? You are going to somebody else's house also.
Hmm.
You take some fruits. And go, okay,
yes.
You want to take something as a gesture to offer. And fruits is always good.
Hmm.
Swami says, though, I stopped fruits also because people keep sending fruits.
Hmm.
So, the whole thing is, he was not ritualistic or traditional in that sense, but lived every second and taught what the spirit of the Vedas and the Upanishads was.
Yes. I mean, life is a living scripture.
Life is. Because if, like, we were talking about the incidents in the hostel,
yes.
How sacrifice
is
one of the most important aspects. And, like, forbearance and sacrifice. He says, keep the others' wish and their welfare above your own.
Yes.
Swami once said that this robe which I am wearing stands for sacrifice.
Yes.
This saffron robe.
Yes.
And he says, there is no one else who is more befitting this robe than this form.
Wow.
Because he says, you people can never understand. You people can never understand the level of sacrifice that he has made.
Absolutely. In fact, that's very humbling when you think about Bhagwan. I mean, right from the time he descended till the moment he left the mortal coil, even in the final moments, he was only giving.
Absolutely. In fact, I am just reminded of one incident which Professor Venkatraman was telling me. And he was saying that when he was a vice chancellor, we all know how Swami loves to encourage students during the Ganesh Chaturthi festival.
Yes.
So during the Ganesh Chaturthi festival, there are idols and statues which the students worship in their rooms. Initially, there used to be a few Ganeshas, like class-wise, and then it became room-wise. Every room had its own Ganesha and decorations and altars, and there was a lot of enthusiasm and all that, and Swami would always encourage. And after 3 days, or earlier it used to be 5 days and 7 days, the immersion function had to take. And all the students would decorate the Ganeshas in beautiful chariots and bring them, either palanquins or chariots, and they would bring them, and Swami would come and spend a lot of time with each of those chariots. He would see, he would bless and take group photograph with the students and make sure, he would inquire, what is this, what is that. It was an opportunity to give ananda to, and Swami would always do that. Now, when Professor Venkatraman was the vice chancellor, the previous day, inside the interview room, Swami just showed him that his toenail had been cut into half.
Oh my God.
He said that as he was walking around, his toe hit against the wall. And then the toe, and you know how painful it is.
Mm.
And so I think Professor asked him, Swami, is it paining? Swami said, yes. What do you think? It is the body has to undergo. It is the body's feeling. It is. Then he said, Swami, please allow me to inform the boys that tomorrow is the immersion day of the Ganesh Chaturthi, that they should not touch Swami, or, you know. Swami said, if you utter this to anybody,
mm-hmm.
you will not be in this place the next instant.
Oh my God.
If you ever think of talking, telling anybody this, you will not be here. I'll send you out, Swami said.
Oh my.
Don't even think of telling anybody this. See the level of sacrifice is such that he doesn't, it's not important that somebody should know what he sacrificed. How many people would have touched his feet that day? How many students? They would have felt very happy. How many of them know what he went through? What the body, his body went through? Like, of course, you can't, Swami's.
Yes.
But as a physical body, as a human body, there was pain. Swami said, yes, there is pain.
For him, that only was joy. That sacrifice only was joy.
Exactly. Exactly. And he would always take it one step further. And how much the level to which the physical body could endure. He just gave.
Wow. In fact, you know, talking about this sacrifice, I remember once Sailesa telling me, you know, of the school, high secondary school again.
Yes.
That once he found in the middle of the night, one boy was cleaning the toilet.
Okay.
And, you know, it was a strange coincidence. He also happened to, you know, see the boy in that odd hour. And so he asked, why are you doing this? Middle of the night. That too, why are you doing this act? He said that the workers will do it in the morning. You go and sleep. Why are you doing this? And then this boy put his head down and he said, sir, Swami told the other day that we must do some service activity which is unseen by others.
My God.
And Swami said that he will reward us if we render any service activity when nobody is noticing us. And I thought no one will see me now, and that's why I'm doing this secretly.
I don't know what reward he was expecting, but no, but it's very, very moving. Yeah.
I mean, I was thinking, I mean, this is what is, you know, you take any moment in the hostel and I think you will find facets of Indian culture.
No, absolutely. Because these things will stay with you throughout your life. And this environment, this message, this whole inspiration that Swami gives us. You see, during the sports, so many times where the whole team has to come together, and it's very, very, very different when, you know, the focus is not Bhagawan and the focus is not.
Yes.
And also, even if it is not directly physically Bhagawan, the whole approach with which you do it to make the whole team happy.
Yes.
So,
whatever happens, in Prashant Nilaya, I mean, I think everywhere, every institution that way is perhaps short of manpower resources. But if given the constraint of resources, whatever every institution is achieving, it is only because the focus is Swami.
Correct.
I think that is why whatever effort you put, it gets multiplied. It gets somehow inflated. The
Correct.
Word gets inflated.
Absolutely.
Because the focus is Swami. And I think that's what we have seen. Even in a service activity, you would find people suddenly, you know, so much energy when they take up an activity, a service activity, be it in the Samiti. And that's how we have seen miracles happen all the time. And and in fact, again, coming back to the exams, of course, maybe I mentioned this before, how when an external examiner came to Prashant Nilayam and he saw that everyone is so diligently answering the questions during the examination, and there is no inclination for anyone to even do any kind of malpractice.
Right.
And that is when, you know, he gets very puzzled, and he taps a boy and he asks, are you all very God-fearing children? and that boy, you know, without even thinking, he says, no, sir, we are God-loving. And I think that is what is Bharatiya.
Bharati, as Swami would say.
Yes.
See, here there is that beautiful analogy which Swami gave, just as a recap.
Yes.
He said, people who are looking for external show and external, like you were saying, that
yes.
to do it, to do service and to do seva when nobody is seeing.
Yes.
But people who are actually looking for external show and all that, it is like buying the street pakodas.
Yeah, Tommy.
He gives that analogy where, you know, there is this pakodas which really attract you because it's all an external show, tamasha.
Yes.
And you
that
go.
Smell attracts you.
Smell attracts you. And he says that is for external, this thing. And then he gives that beautiful statement. He says, truth has no need for such decorations.
Yes.
Truth has no need for such decoration. Taste is the important thing. The basic reason for this is the fact that men today are... See, the basic reason for the fact is that men today are motivated by mere whims and fancies. So he says, those who are really going for the external manifestation and external show, this thing, they are not focused on the actual...
Yes. So you missed the point. Mm. And you... I think that is what Bhagwan was in that paragraph saying, that today people are getting carried away by your, how you are getting carried away by the smell of the street pakodas. That's how you are getting carried away
right.
with the external trappings.
Mm.
Later on Bhagwan says how today people have the weakness for power and position, and that is how you think. You know, dharma is going down, Sanatan dharma is going down, but Swami says it comes back. You just wait for that moment to go, and then there are people waiting to come back and resurrect. And that's what we have seen. We
mm-hmm.
have seen time and again. As Swami says, dharma can never decline. The
right.
practice of dharma might decline at some points in time, but dharma can never decline. And I think that is what, because it is Sanatana, it is eternal. It is,
and that
there.
Beautiful analogy again which Swami gave, he says, when there is an earthquake, the
yes.
waters recede.
Yes.
And so the dharmic people just wait. When
yes.
there is unrest, when there is this thing.
Yes.
And then they come to restore
yes.
the
yes.
equilibrium.
Yes, absolutely. In fact, that's how I personally feel that, you know, there is in today's times a resurgence of that feeling. You know,
okay.
you definitely see a lot of people becoming more aware of the lost glory of India. People more serious about how to bring back the precious treasures that India stood for in the past. You know, you have now, after so many years, an International Day of Yoga. And, yeah, now the whole world is going gaga over yoga. So in little ways, I think that is definitely happening. You have Ayurveda, which is again coming back very strongly.
In fact, to interrupt you. I think the 1990 series, Summer Showers, Swami says, what is yoga?
Yes.
Control of senses is yoga.
Yes. Yes, at least yoga came back into the consciousness of people. You know, of course it starts with doing those exercises. You think that is yoga, but later on you will realize
The pakoda. That is the pakoda.
Those are just asanas.
Like it's very interesting because, there was a foreigner who was speaking to me and he said, Yoga is really cool and all that. Then I asked him, which part of yoga are you talking about?
Mm-hmm.
And then he said, you know, the yoga that, you know. I said, that's only one aspect of yoga. He said, really? What are the other aspects? Then, you know, Patanjali yoga, if you see,
yes.
yoga itself, you have
Yama, Niyama,
Asana. Asana is the only one we are talking about.
Yes.
Yama, Niyama, Asana, Pranayama, Pratyahara, Dhyana, Dharana, Samadhi. So then he said, thank you.
So ultimately, it is Samadhi.
It's the Samadhi.
Yes, Samadhi. Wow. So I think it's been a long chapter. And when you think about all the different things that Swami has mentioned here, I think again and again, Swami in different words emphasized how Bharatiya, anyone who follows Satya and Dharma is a Bharatiya.
Right.
And the Bharatiya, the Sanatana Dharma is the ocean. It is the confluence, it is the ocean, it is the basis, it is everything from which everything started, and everything has to ultimately go back to that. It is the most ancient, and it's imperishable. It is the eternal reservoir of,
right,
of values and virtues. So I think any time, if we are thinking about anybody in any land, in any sphere, in any way, if you want to inculcate virtues, if you want to have a land of truth and righteousness, the only way to do it is to look at what is laid down in the Sanatana Dharma. It doesn't matter whether you're in India, whether you're in Argentina, whether you're in
absolute
New Zealand. And I think that is what Swami is making it very clear. And how to do it? Well, there are so many examples that Swami has laid down in front of us. And the best thing, as you said, we have to look at his life. And then we have all the lessons about how to go about practicing this. So I think with that, we'll wind up this long chapter, chapter 17. And if you're, dear listeners, if you're reading the Prema Vahini in Telugu, it is chapter 5. And probably we will take on with the subsequent chapter in the next session of Prema Vahini. If you have any queries or comments, as always, please feel free to write to us. You can write listener@radiosai.org. So with prayers at Bhagavan's lotus feet for having given us this beautiful opportunity to dwell on these precious words. You know, every time you read, you learn so much, and you are awakened to new truths. So really grateful to Bhagavan for this opportunity. Thank you so much. Sayonara.